Greetings from the Thames Valley in southern England. Today I'd like to offer iFaith Video Sermon 118. It's from Zechariah, and I've called it Father, Son, and Spirit. Zechariah is, I believe, the longest book in the Minor Prophets. It's also the most obscure, at least according to an ancient church father named Jerome. There's a lot going on, and we'll see how much we can unpack and clarify in today's message and in the following lesson, also from Zechariah. There are about 80 quotations and allusions from Zechariah in the New Testament. A third of those are in the Gospels, and most of the rest are in the book of Revelation. And Zechariah, no question, has influenced Revelation more than any other Old Testament book apart from Ezekiel. Just a couple of weeks ago, I read all of Zechariah, I read all Revelation. I'm just amazed at all the connections. Zechariah 9 to 14, that is the last six chapters of Zechariah, are the most quoted parts. That's where you have the most quotations, particularly in Jesus' passion narrative. That is the week he suffered and died. Who is Zechariah? Well, there are 31 Zecharias, but the prophet Zechariah is paired with Haggai. These two work together to give the spiritual oomph, the inspiration, so that the temple can be completed. The people have come back from Persian captivity in the 530s. In fact, laid the foundation for the temple. But the temple won't be finished until 520. And that's probably the year that Zechariah and Haggai are prophesying, completing the temple. Haggai is considered the plain speaker who dots every I, at least according to one commentator, while Zechariah is provokingly enigmatic and visionary. It's really quite a book. Now, like Nehemiah, the one who rebuilt the walls, Zechariah had to deal with a lot of, quote, realists, people who were cynics or pessimists, not so supportive, not ready to have faith in him or his building project. But Zechariah deals with things well. Now, today, we're going to look at three of my favorite passages from the prophet Zechariah. And we're going to look at the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. I know, this is Old Testament. Be patient, you'll see what I mean. The first passage is in 4:6, a very well-known verse. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Doesn't come down to strategy. Success in God's world doesn't come down to pure muscle. God is not praising the spirit of humanism here. To rebuild the temple, in fact, to build anything worthwhile in our lives, we need God on our side. The work was nearing completion, but people were getting distracted. The people were getting distracted until Zechariah and Haggai teamed up and gave them the inspiration they needed. Sometimes, like the ancient Israelites, we need something. We need someone, a prophetic voice, to push us out of our comfort zone to rise and do the work. I like the reflection in the book of Ezra, chapter 5. Haggai and Zechariah prophesied, and then Zerubbabel and Yeshua arose. Zerubbabel is the governor. Yeshua, or Joshua, is the priest. And so the head of the religious system, you could say, and the civic or political system, they needed a bit of a push. And it was that combination of those men with the two prophets that led to success. Are you like that? Do you sometimes do better with others pointing you in the right direction, even giving you a little nudge, someone who can remind you of God's words, his faithfulness, and his promises? I benefit from that, and I bet you do too. The second passage, Jesus, not a priest or a king, but a priest king. I'll explain in a moment. We're in chapter 6. Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is a man whose name is the Branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne. That may not strike you as odd if you're new to the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is very clear that the person on the throne is not the priest. To be on the throne, you have to be from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of David. To be on the to be a priest, the high priest, or any priest, you have to be from a different tribe, the tribe of Levi, or Levi. Nowhere else in the Old Testament is it made so plain that the coming Davidic king will also be a priest. I agree with those words. God's going to do something. This is bigger than just Yeshua and Zerubbabel, or Zechariah and Haggai. Yes, they will rebuild the temple, but a greater temple will be rebuilt. A greater temple will rise. A greater temple we will find in the New Testament, in the body of Christ, and in the New Jerusalem. So we see here that the uncombinable offices of priest and king, God says something's going to happen and they will become one. That will happen in Jesus Christ. He's from the tribe of Judah, but his king, his priesthood is from a different order, the order of Melchizedek, not Levi. Can't get into that anymore right now, but it's a big deal. And so, whereas the first prophet, the first passage, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, focuses us on God's spirit, this one focuses on God's son. We see Jesus in Zechariah. In the next lesson, which is called The Donkey and the Man, you'll see a lot more of Jesus in Zechariah. But let's go to our last passage. And here this one takes us to the Father. I know I'm going backwards, you know, Spirit, Son, Father, but I think it's okay. And I've kind of given this a title, Effortless Evangelism. It's always been one of my favorite passages, probably my favorite passage in all of Zechariah, starting in 8:23 or 8:20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many inhabitants and peoples of many cities will yet come, and the inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. This is what the Lord Almighty says. This is verse 23, my favorite verse. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we've heard that God is with you. I love it when people come together from different nations in unity and seeking God. I preached a message just a few minutes ago inside the building. I'm standing outside right now here in England. And I talked with people in the fellowship before and after, people from China, people from India, people from Scandinavia, from everywhere. I love that. But the point is not just to be international. The vision is quite a bit broader. And you find this in other prophets, like in Isaiah 2 or Micah 4. It even goes back to Genesis 12 and Genesis 22. God's promise to Abraham that all the world, all the nations of the world will be blessed through him. And this seems like an effortless evangelism. I mean, you're on the way to the temple. It's like you're going to church and 10 more people are saying, hey, can we go with you? Because we've heard God is really there. If Israel lived as salt and light, then people would see it. This is not the way we normally think of evangelism. We think we need a strategy. We need to have a list and follow up and everything. And I'm not against those things. But wouldn't it be great if people were just begging you to go? I'm reaching out to, I guess, 5 people. Actually, probably from 4 different countries. But one of them is very unusual. He's a Muslim who says, in effect, he spends a lot of time with Muslims and he spends a lot of time with Christian people of different varieties. And he says, just comparing and looking at the Christians, he likes them a lot. They're not trying to put themselves forward or impress people. They're very open and caring. And by the way, I don't mean to say no Muslims are caring. I had a great coffee last week with a Muslim neighbor in our back garden, and this guy loves the poor. He's a wonderful person. But this other fellow, actually, in Turkey, I met, he said, you know, I mean, I would almost become a Christian if I had to choose. I said, well, has anyone ever studied the Bible with you? No. Do you have someone to help you? Have you been baptized? No. He said, Douglas, could we sit down at the end of the day, have a couple hours? And yes. So now we're going through the Gospel of John, which he's read 3 times through. And he's basically saying, yes, I want to become a Christian. And it's a bit of a long distance thing, but I want to help him. When someone just sees the difference in lifestyle, they see the love of Christ and they're attracted to it, That's what gives real power to evangelism. Now, it's not just a system. This is God. And so we see effortless evangelism, that is bringing people to the Father, not a priest or a king, but a priest king, Jesus. And in our other passage, we see the Spirit, not strategy, not by might nor by power. So what do we do with this? What am I asking you to do at the end of this message? Well, first, appreciate intimations, hints of the Trinity in the Old Testament. Zechariah points us to Jesus Christ. Zechariah even points us to the Trinity in a way, coming to the Father, the future King like David, the Son, and the Spirit. God has this universal vision for people coming to faith. It's not just in Genesis and the prophets, it's in the Psalms, like Psalm 100, or this morning one of the Psalms I read was Psalm 67. It's all in there. It's strong in the New Testament and Revelation. These hints and inklings and prophecies foreshadow Jesus Christ. So first, let's have a universal vision for people coming to God the Father. Let's appreciate the hints and prophecies of Christ. And let's always remember, it's not down to our muscle. The mission we have is not about muscle. It's about light and salt and relying on the Spirit, not strategy. The next iFaith message, number 119, on Zechariah, I will give to you in a few days when I'm in Nepal, in the Himalayas. And that one's called The Donkey and the Man. If you want to prepare, I suppose you could read Zechariah 9 to 14. But I hope you'll watch that one as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.